IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, this is IRIB English Radio Real Poems Program, and I'm Bita at your service. Today I have the honor to be the host of today's episode. With me I have two dear guests, Brother Ali and Brother Amit. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Welcome back to our episode. So today we're going to talk about a special sign of unity in our religion. As you know, there are many actions in our religion, Islam, that show the unity, the alliance of people and the hearts of people together. And we have to actually improve these actions to show to the world that we are here for the same guidelines. We are here to show you the right way to leave. And today, the main point and the main topic is the prayers of Friday, or Namaz Jum'ah here, as you know. So, first of all, I want to talk about the history of this actually precious action of worship in our Islam. So, Brother Amit, if
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you very much for having me once again.
You're welcome.
I will begin the discussion with a verse from the Noble Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَسَعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. God Almighty, He says, O you who have faith, when the call is made for prayer on Friday, hurry towards the remembrance of God and leave all business. That is better for you, should you know. Now, this verse was actually revealed in Mecca before the Prophet even migrated to Medina. As you know, in Mecca, there was a very strong opposition against the Noble Prophet. Many of the ahkam, many of the commandments of God Almighty, he wasn't able to execute in Mecca itself. However, in Medina, the growth of Muslims was more substantial than Mecca. And when this growth took its toll, they saw that the Muslims in Medina, they saw that the Jews and the Christians had their way of congregation, their one special day where they came together and they kind of advised each other on the good and the bad and so on. This is when the one of the companions of the Noble Prophet initiated this form of the Friday prayer. It happened on the Yawmul Urbah, what happens is the day before Saturday was named Yawmul Urubah, and eventually after this Friday prayer commandment came to the Noble Prophet, the day itself, the name changed to Jum'ah, meaning the congregation, the day of congregation. In Islam, we have many other congregations. We have Hajj, where once in a year persons who are able and capable should go there and come together and complete the actions that have been prescribed from before. We have Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, that are very similar to the Friday prayer. And then we also have Friday prayer. The importance of Friday prayer is so much so that we have so many narrations from the Noble Prophet and the Imams that not only talk about the social importance, but also the personal importance of this congregation. It talks about how your sins will be forgiven for each step you take towards the Friday prayer. Even a man came to the Noble Prophet. He says that, I wasn't able to go for Hajj. Every year I try to prepare to go to Hajj, but I wasn't able to make it. The tawfiq, that opportunity never came. The Prophet says, عَلَيْكَ بِالْجُمْعَةِ فَإِنَّهَا حَجُّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. Go to the Friday prayer. It is rather the Hajj, the pilgrimage of those who are not able to make it. So this is a brief introduction to the Friday prayer.
Thank you for your introduction of the Friday prayer. But the thing I want to ask you is that, you know, as you told me, there are also social and personal effects and values of this actually valuable worship in our religion. But the thing is, in modern world, in modern generation, unfortunately, in my opinion, there is no more that attention to these sort of things, because me, as a young person here, as a candidate of the young generation, I want to tell you that as a Muslim, I've never experienced this kind of worship here. And I'm really sorry to say that, but actually it's a fact that I've never experienced it. Because I want to ask you, Brother Ali, that what is the reason that I think the effect of this kind of way of worship is lighter and is somehow more ignorant in this society, in this actually new age?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. You said that some of the youngsters and the youth like you have never experienced going to this important prayer. That's quite natural, because you know, five prayer at the time of the cultation of the Imam, the infallible Imam, based on the verdicts of some fuqaha and religious authorities, is not, let's say, objective obligation. That is wajibul ayni. And moreover, even for the sisters, for the, let's say, ladies, even at the time of the infallible imam, is not, again, wajib on the sisters. That is, it's not an act of obligation. So in case you have not yet had the chance to participate, it means that you have not committed any mistake, you know, alhamdulillah. So because it is at least something mustahab that you missed it. So maybe you have, alhamdulillah, maybe you hopefully compensated it with some better actions. But at the time of occultation of the imam, it is a sort of, let's say, based on the verdict of some of the fuqaha and jurisprudence, it has its let's say, optional obligation. Rather, some say, okay, it's not even obligatory at the time of occultation in the school of Ahlul Bayt. But in the school of, let's say, other denominations in Islam, like that of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it is still an act of obligation, and the wujub of it, the obligation in it, goes with in the form of the objective one, that is ayni, that they have to participate.
I didn't know that.
But it's good for the youngest, because a part of our youths are the brothers, right? So if they are taking part and participating in this great congregation or not, I think we have to at least encourage them to do. Because, you know, one of the key concepts in Islam, in Islamic teachings, is unity. You know, Islam in different ways wants to actually advise us to have this unification among yourselves. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Usually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates tafraqa, that is discrepancy and differences among his, among the nations of the religious, followers of their religions. Look, because in case people got differentiated and got separated from each other, they will be defeated. And the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَرْضِ يَرِثُ عَبَدِ الصَّالِحُونَ, will be postponed, you see. So people will not face that ideal global government of the infallible Imam, which is the Islamic or Mahdavi utopia that we are waiting for. You see, that beautiful city, that beautiful government that has lots of beauties that we can now even talk and even enumerate those beauties. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thought about solving this issue among ourselves. He defined three different congregations for us. Allah wants us first to perform our prayers in a masjid close in our vicinity, close to our houses, you see. Allah doesn't want us to put, I mean, to pray at home. I mean, our obligatory prayers, like the fara'id. But again, at the same time, Allah wants you to perform your recommendation prayers at home, you see. It's not good to go, for example, to masjid and do your salatul layl, that is your night prayers. But as for the fara'id, Allah wants you to go to this congregation. Why? Because Allah wants you to solve the problem of your brothers in your vicinity or sisters, in case any they have any. Or to know about the problems of the city, the issues, and to get involved in all the affairs of the city. Allah doesn't want you to be an indifferent person in your society, you see. Then you have to play your role while you are going to masjid. Because when you are going to masjid, you see other people, again, from spirituality. You do an act of worship. Because when you do an act of worship, you will be spiritually happy and delighted, you see. then again, it has lots of other blessings and barakah that we cannot even discuss and name them, because I want to reach to a good, let's say, conclusion in this issue. Again, it has lots of benefits to perform our prayers in a masjid. Then Allah wants you to be aware of, let's say, a province level or a, let's say, national level. To know about, again, to be informed about the issues of the Islamic Ummah, your brothers and sisters in faith, your society, the economy, everything. Politics and society, whatever actually is included in our life today. That's why he invites you to have a bigger congregation, that is Al-Jum'ah. That is Jum'ah prayers. He wants you to go and attend there and to be involved on a, let's say, regular basis, and to know what is going on. Mm-hmm. You see, that's why it was obligatory at the time of infallible imam. Because it has been emphasized, and we have been told that a Muslim should not be indifferent. Like, for example, if a person doesn't know even who is the imam of his time, if he dies, it's as if he dies at the death of ignorance, right? Again, Allah defined a very bigger, let's say, congregation in a worldwide level.
Yeah.
What is that? It is Hajj. Mm-hmm. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites people from different parts of this world. More than 200, or let's say 200 plus countries, are sending their hujjaj and, let's say, their Muslims in one center to song the motto of unity. You see? To pray for God, because it has lots of benefits. Economically, the economy of the people will be solved at that time. Politically, a sort of, let's say, wahda and unity will be announced to the world that we are united. No power can stand in front of us, because Muslims, in case we were united, we didn't have any problem in the Muslim lands. That's why they do dare to attack us in basis periodically and demolish one of the Muslim countries because of the lack of unity. We have not yet been actually detached to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for us. As for, let's say, spiritually, you're doing actually your ibadah, worship, in the best place of the world. You know, some of the lands are higher in value to other lands. For example, the land of, for example, let's say, this city of ours differs with the other land. Let's say the land of, for example, Qom is different from the value, because we have some recommendation on that this land is more sacred. But the land of Mecca is more important and valuable than the other lands. So you're performing in some place, even though some times are more important than other times. Like, for example, the Knights of Qadr are more important than the other Knights, right? The same goes with the lands. For example, the land of Karbala or the land of Mecca. They are more, let's say, sacred and, let's say, valuable than the others. So you are performing your praise there. So what is the outcome? What are the outcomes of such congregations? If Muslims were united and they were that wise or wise enough to make these congregations there, because now our Hajj is something like quite
a cultural
personal
thing.
And individual act of worship. It has been actually turned to something like that. Because, those who are the managers of Hajj, they don't want it to be in the form that Islam actually recommended us to be. So that's why Muslims from different parts of the world come there, and every one of them from their hotel come to, let's say, to masjid and perform their prayers and go back to hotel.
That's when we consider the event of Ghadir. It happened directly after Hajj.
Or even
even
before this event of the Ghadir, at the time that the Prophet went to Mecca to perform Hajj, he made some, let's say, gatherings among the Muslim, he and himself and some of his companions, asked them to teach the people there, those who are coming from different parts of the world. In those gatherings, you said, in this gathering, the other one sit in that, and he himself was sitting in, let's say, in between. So people came from different parts of the world, and they're asking their questions from the Prophet and from the companions. So this was one of the blessings of it that we, unfortunately, we miss it today. Second, at the time of the Prophet, when the Prophet was moving to perform Hajj, you see, the economy of Muslims was growing. You see how Because when they were coming, I mean, Muslims, because they were in need of some stuff to buy from there, even they wanted to even make some money, they brought something from Medina and the others from other lands to sell there. So it was a sort of economy that was making there. But for our today, how can it be done and how can it be, let's say, understood? So different Muslims are coming there and products of Muslims can be presented there and to, let's say, to be sold and bought. But we see that the markets of Saudi are full of, let's say, Western, products, and you rarely find some, let's say, Muslim products there. You see? So that's why the economy of Islamic Ummah is not like that to be growing, you see? And politically, why we see that at the end of Hajj, one of the people who first actually congratulates the Muslims is the president of America, because he's really happy that the thing that we were expecting is not happening. They say that they are too happy that they sent a congregation message on the Eid of Adha. You see, what we call it, Eid al-Qurban. So what is the matter? Because they understood well that 2 million Muslims from different, let's say, ethnicities Nations. Gathered somewhere and they did nothing.
So that was the all the time we have for today's discussion. I wish you, dear listeners, enjoyed our topic of today. Thank you for being with us. And farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept that. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها